Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, and welcome to today's episode of the podcast FemTech at Work with a very, very special guest, my friend and CEO of AXA Greater China, Sally Wan. Hi, Sally. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Maaike. Thank you for having me.
Obviously, insurance plays a very big role in women's health journey. So I'm very excited to be able to talk to you today. Can you share maybe a little bit about your background, how you ended up in insurance, and what motivated you to kind of work in this space, and then actually in particularly AXA and what sets it apart?
Sure. Thank you, Maaike. I started my work at KPMG, graduated from Australia in 1996, so it was a long journey for me. But most of our career is in insurance. I must say that I didn't choose it. It was always because of the journey with my customers and everything. So that's why I started as an auditor at KPMG, and then all clients and all my customers were insurers. And then I ended up in the insurance industry with different insurers. AXA is my fourth job. So I come from finance, and then I live in Tokyo for 7 years, and then with AI for 11, and then it's in AXA. Insurance touches me in many ways. I didn't choose the career, but I found that after I joined it, insurance is really related to society. It's not only about health, it's about motor, it's about business, it's about everyday life. So in the commercial world, without insurance, it's actually very difficult to work. So that's why I find the social purpose of this industry as well. I'm very lucky to be in it. And AXA is a bit different than most of the competitors in Hong Kong, because we are truly a real composite large entities, because in Hong Kong, there are life insurance and there's general insurance. And we actually are quite big in both. We have very big market shares in general insurance and also life and health. So that makes it even more interesting, because it is very complex, but at the same time, it touches every point in the personal journey. And even for small businesses and big businesses, big corporation with property, marine cargo, and then for more individual like health, travel, motor, like we touch us on every single aspect of life. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. So the insurance industry, just like financial services, by the way, where I come from, isn't extremely well known for its commitment to innovation, right?
Yes, we try.
Yes, exactly. We all try. So can you talk a little bit how AXA looks at innovation and how it kind of aligns with your corporate vision?
We do invest in innovation every year, quite a fair bit of money. But I must say, we are definitely not the state of the art, because we are always catching up with the world. But I think most importantly, we invest in the customer journey quite a fair bit. Because nowadays, every single person needs to have some digital journey. And we have invested a lot of the customer journey. I think for us, it is important to continue to evolve to the customer experience. But at the same time, I need to say the buzzword, Maaike, if you don't mind. I think AI is coming into the picture now. I think it is important that we invest in AI. I think it's more important for us because we have very legacy system. Mm. And I think AI actually comes into place that is a game changer for us, because we can really do a lot of document understanding transformation to make us more efficient. The good thing to making us more efficient is to make sure the cost is down so that it's customers. So it is important for us to continue to invest in that.
Yeah, so I think I find it interesting to see that people are embarrassed to kind of use the word AI, almost like it's a buzzword. But in all fairness, particularly when it comes to women's health and kind of the gender health gap, I'm super excited about it because obviously it has its challenges. But if we really would have to wait for this gender gap to close, we would, I don't know, take 75 million years or something. So the only way to eventually close it and to create a better health experience for women is through the use of technology. And then AI is going to be at the forefront of all of this, right? So when we talk about health in particular and technology, how do you see that intersection developing for AXA?
It's been tremendous if you talk about health and technology, right? Because I think in the past 10, 15 years, the medical technology and the advancements in the technology procedures, the testing, it has advanced so much that actually it helps women's health definitely. Because if I need to give an example, right, in the past, the scanning system is like X-ray and everything, but now we have CT, we have MRI, we have PET scan. With genetic test, actually, it helps also to detect very early certain symptoms. So in the past, I don't know whether this is a word that everybody knows, but probably it's like triple negative breast cancer.
Yep.
In the past, it's very difficult when you heard about this. But now with the technology, with the advanced treatment, combining other than just surgery and chemo, and then you have immunotherapy therapy and all that,
yep,
actually helps quite a fair bit of early detection, treatment, and care after.
Yep.
So I would say, again, it is a game changer and it will evolve in the future. It could be quite still expensive now for certain treatment, but I think it will evolve at a later stage.
Yeah. So are there any particular initiatives or products that AXA has launched to kind of support women's health? I know you've done a bit of work on menopause.
We focus actually since 2024, when you invited me to some events. I think it was the time when we started to invest, especially on women's health. It's more the menopause area.
Yeah.
I must say that because we are in an aging society, everybody knows. I think menopause is, in the past, is neglected quite a fair bit.
Mm.
When people like us, like you and me, we're in this stage, we know that there are many other women are not taking care of themselves, or maybe they are still avoiding the topic. That is why we invest into a battleship program where we want to really cater for the general public. First of all, to raise awareness. Secondly, to make sure that they understand what that means, that at least they do some checkups and some of their symptoms, everyday symptoms, actually can be treated if you go to a doctor's. So I must say, Micah, it's still early days because there's a lot of education that needs to put in there. The awareness is that whether the women are willing to take care of themselves, I think it is a journey.
Yeah, I agree. So I've also been spending the last 2 years just doing a lot of advocacy and awareness. My observation is that in Asia, we are very reliant on kind of, you know, we trust our banker, our insurer, our doctor to know what is, our TCM doctor to know what is best for us.
Yeah,
but we don't necessarily own our own health and well-being. So apart from the fact I think we need to educate a lot of women, we probably also need to educate a lot of employers, right, on why it is actually good to focus on women. I see that we are looking more at the future of health also through the lens of corporates and employee benefits. How do you kind of see this developing in Asia or Hong Kong in particular?
Hong Kong is not bad, Micah. I must say I agree completely with you. Doing education alone with individual women is harder, but with employee benefits with the corporate HR department, actually it makes it better. I share with you one example. Other than the battleship program on menopause, we have partners with a women's clinic, like the clinic just with women medical practitioner, only just for women's and things like that. And we launch it to individual customers, but also employee benefits. Actually, that clinic is very popular because the women start to feel a bit more comfortable talking to female doctors and female, and the whole team are all female. So I think it started the way it is, and employee benefits, the employers buy into it, and the female workers are actually quite happy. In Hong Kong, it's a lot better than I think other cities because we have very big women's workforce.
Mm.
And when you ask me about the trend in the last question, I think it is important for us to focus on it because aging society, women's at work, women's are living longer.
Yes.
So it is a big population that we have to focus on our customers, on women's segments, the aging society. We live longer, we work longer. If we continue to be healthy, it is better for the society.
Yeah, but you rightfully pointed it out. It has to be a joint effort, right? There needs to be more government. It needs to be insurance. It needs to be corporates and women themselves. So what would you advise corporates that are kind of interested in bringing women's health into the workplace? Do you have any suggestions?
I think corporates at the moment, most of the big organization or medium size, they already have partnered with some insurers on employee benefits. And what we found that in the recent years, the most popular program, the HR department actually invests, for example, the Battership program, they do invest in it. So because they can see they have a big women's workforce, I think having a good employee benefits program for their female worker or even male and their families actually attract more retention and it's better for their employees. I must say there's another program that is getting a bit more traction, which is the mental health program. In Hong Kong, workers, staff like us, working in corporates are very stressed. We are seeing more because of, I think in the past few years, there's a lot of discussion about mental health. In the past, it was quite a stigma. But now it's getting a bit more traction. People are more willing to use the online psychological platform that is support their stress level.
Yeah.
The team and the staff are more aware of this. So I think this is going to be a trend in the future as well. How do we make sure our team members, our staff, mentally healthy to make sure their mind is also healthy? With mind, they have a healthier body as well. So I think these two things, that the women's health, the mind health, I think is very important.
Yeah, I think you raise a very interesting point, right? So I saw a survey from the Hong Kong Association of HR Managers, and they had stats that showed like 52% of the Hong Kong population is experiencing burnout or some kind of PTSD following the pandemic. And I think the other thing is just women by their biology are already 2 times more prone to mental health issues than men. But you don't see 2 times more effort on mental health in the workplace, right? I think a lot of people use an employee assistance program, but there seems to be both on women's health and mental health so much stigma and taboo to talk about it. Now, obviously, I come from a Western culture. We're very open, very direct. But in the Asian setting, why is this such a stigma? And what do you think we can collectively do to kind of normalize these conversations about mental health and women's health?
One of the things that I feel that is quite effective, I have the same experience in the past few years that we're trying to launch the Mind Health program. There is no take up.
Yeah.
Until today, it is a lot better. I think it's come with, as you mentioned earlier, right? Corporate is very important. The employees and the HR head. Recently, head of HR has developed another program where we partners with organization, government organization, where they come and train our managers to be a coach. A coach, not like a real life coach, but to gain awareness of how do you detect your team members has a stress level that needs some care, and how do you talk to them to make sure that we call it a mind health first aider.
Oh, yes.
Like when a person that you know that she and he is under a very stressful scenario, how can you help them? Now we have trained quite many managers. We continue to train them. And when the awareness is there, the team actually in my company start talking about it. Oh, maybe we have to pay more attention to certain colleagues.
Yeah,
we can help. And when we detect early, it's easier to support them and make sure the journey to recover better.
Yes, exactly. So I agree totally. I love the idea of having like mental health first aiders. This is also, I think, some initiatives that some of the femtech companies in Hong Kong are doing around menopause to create ambassadors where people can go through. I think role models are also very important. I think what we lag are kind of in Asia, and I obviously the US, but you have Halle Berry, who very openly talks about her menopause experience, right? And you have Oprah, and all these celebrities, it's very interesting to see. I'm organizing a conference and I'm kind of finding, which you're supporting, by the way, so thank you for that. But trying to find Asian celebrities that are vocal about their health journey, whether it's cancer or whether it's fertility or whether it's menopause. Very hard to find, to be honest. So I would highly encourage everybody listening to also, and that has a role to play in society, to use that voice to advocate for women. But you it reminded me, because I mental health and menopause, obviously extremely important topics. But we're also, if we're looking across Asia, we're seeing more and more issues with fertility.
Yes.
And obviously, we have governments that are worried about falling birth rates. And I'm sure we can spend a whole podcast as to why the birth rates are falling. But what I'm noticing is also a lot of women that, young women that are interested in egg freezing and embryo freezing, but also a lot of couples that are experiencing infertility, also for lots more reason. But it's very, very expensive, if you're okay with it. Explain a little bit what the insurer's view is on this.
We insurers, we know about this, and I can't say for all the insurers, but at least our health team is also trying to think about how do we have more support on the services, on the fertility support. Is I think FemTech or related partnership with insurers will help.
Yeah.
Because insurance is not just about paying claims anymore now.
Yeah.
Of course, insurance is about paying claims, but at least the other services that related to the whole ecosystem would support what you talk about, infertility, menopause, everything.
Yeah.
Least, I think for us, we have started partnering with medical network who can provide that. We are partnering with the GBA healthcare provider network because more people are opt to do something in the GBA area, other places. I think partnership is a solution for insurers to make sure that we provide necessary services to our customers. But this is still an early stage.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to point out is also, I think employer support is also very important.
Yes.
Because some young couples probably don't want to have a baby because there's not enough support.
Yeah.
So I think these are, as you mentioned, we need to have government, commercial, corporate, HR, everybody work on this together.
Yeah.
To increase birth rate.
Yeah. But I think if you sum it up, I think in an ideal world, we would have personalized insurance because maybe, you know, you and I have different needs than a Gen Z wants.
Yes.
So personalized and insurance. And I think combine that with precision medicine. I think the great thing that technology is doing is allowing individuals to be more focused on their own health, whether it's through a DNA test or through a kind of products and services that do more predictive AI work for their own health and well-being. And I think that is the future that we collectively, because it has to be collectively, probably should be working towards. Now, you also look after the China business, right? Do you see a different focus? Do you see people focusing more on precision medicine and personalized health, or is it still very much a one-size-fits-all? What are kind of the trends you're seeing on health in China?
So I think personalized insurance is something that China, Hong Kong trying to do more.
Yeah.
In general, it is still more a gem like mass underwriting systems
on yeah.
health insurance. In China, their social system is very different from Hong Kong. So from the mass market, everybody is still going to the social networked hospital, the public network, but more affluent customers actually opt for more private, personalized, more service, high-end insurance. Actually, in the past 5 years or so, it's also very developed in China, especially in the GBA area. So you can see our customers from China actually sometimes comes to Hong Kong for private treatment and medical network treatment. But now also Hong Kong, more affluent customers is opting for going up to the GBA because the big hospitals in China, their medical facilities are world-class.
Yeah, very luxurious. Eh? I understand that like a 6-star resorts.
Yeah. So now I think we have more options, but the trend is still probably around how do the middle classes and more mass affluent and affluent customers opting for better services and higher end medical insurance so that to cover more other than going to hospitals. This is how I see in both China and Hong Kong.
Yeah, interesting. Because I read also that basically medical tourism is in general on the rise, where people are looking for markets where they can either get the best or cheapest fertility treatment, or whether they can get the best cancer treatment. How is AXA looking at this? Is this something you're supporting, that you're worried about, or is it just something you're watching?
We are not worry about that. But what we need to do is to continue to expand the medical network that the customers need. We are seeing that, as you mentioned, where do they opt for better treatment or cheaper options of the drugs and everything. And that is why we have been expanding our medical network also in Shenzhen and Guangzhou, where we are seeing more customers. Probably, I'll give you an example, probably after the cancer treatment, they would like to do a bit more follow-up treatment in the GBA because the facilities is better and maybe it's cheaper for them. And it's more cohesive with their lifestyle, right? Because half a million, maybe around 500,000 Hong Kong citizens is now residing in Shenzhen or Guangzhou. And there are also Chinese customers coming to Hong Kong that is not stopping. I think that tourism from China to Hong Kong is still there because our private hospital network is very good. It's just that we have to expand it. We can't just focus on a few of them. So the ecosystem and partnership is very important.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about the partnerships, because what I'm seeing is kind of an established ecosystem in Hong Kong that is kind of welcome and opening innovation, right? We've seen that in fintech. We've seen that before in trading. And I think we are going to see it now in health with biotech, medtech, and I'm actively working to get femtech included to that. With the AI boom also coming in China, there is some amazing innovation happening in China, you know, testing for endometriosis, testing for preeclampsia, testing for different kind of autoimmune diseases that take very long to diagnose. I come across, and quite often randomly, companies that are doing some amazing work in the health space. And then, you know, they don't even know it, but they're obviously working on innovation in women's health. They just don't call it femtech. It's biotech or medtech. How can these companies, if they would want to partner with you, how can they partner with you? What would a process look like? What would they do?
Usually my health team, because we are quite connected with the new tech company as well, usually our medical health team will actually work with a tech company.
Yeah.
If they have a very good, the MindHealth platform is a good example, because if they already have established a platform that can service the customers, then we can assess the opportunity and whether it is, or I think the key thing is whether the tech is big enough that we can support a wider customer base and how does it link it to our platform as well, which is very important.
Yeah.
Sometimes some startup company, they're very good at innovating the tech. And sometimes it's difficult for them to connect with a more legacy.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
That's a challenge, yeah.
Yes. But a lot of these companies are also looking at more preventative health solutions, right? So even be it a DNA test or self-testing or diagnosis. Because from an insurer perspective, is prevention kind of part of the agenda? Because normally they only kind of come into play when people get sick, right? Is this something that is of interest for insurers going forward?
Totally. Michael, as I mentioned earlier, I think the whole ecosystem include prevention.
Mm.
Because with prevention, actually for insurers, it's better for us as well in the whole journey, right? Because if you do a measures, actually your claims in the future probably is not as severe as before when you don't do prevention. So at the moment, the most popular prevention now for insurers is medical checkup.
Mm.
First of all, you do regular checkup, you find out a few more other things that you may happen. You can do the prevention now. So one of our more inclusive products is called the CI product, where we cover some of the pre-existing condition. For example, three highs in aging society, it happened. So we only do a few very simple three underwriting questions, and then we'll cover you. But that involves regular checkup. If you do regular checkup, if you do a better lifestyle, if you have your medication, actually, it can be a very good, healthy, long-lived person.
Yeah.
And support. So prevention, definitely, it's in the ecosystem. if there's any partnership we can do on prevention, like other than medical network for medical checkup or some other things, we will definitely consider.
Yeah. Where would you like AXA to be in 5 years' time? If I bring you back on this podcast, what would success look like for you?
If you focus on health and tech in your podcast, I do hope that in 5 years' time, not just AXA, I think for the whole industry, we can actually further advance our underwriting process where we can include more inclusive products. Because now at the moment, there are many customers who can't buy insurance because of age pre-existing. With medical advancement, with technology, I hope that in the 5 years' time, we can actually cover a higher population of the society, Hong Kong and China, included in Asia. And we are more efficient. As I mentioned, tech is important. With tech, we can keep our costs down. So the premium will be better for the customers. I really want to see the whole industry will do the same thing with better inclusive products.
Yeah, amazing. We're almost at the end of the podcast, Sally. So I sit in a lot of groups in Hong Kong that have women there that always ask questions like, where do I go for insurance? But what kind of advice would you give women that are currently navigating their healthcare options?
Okay. So maybe I use myself as an example so it's easier. I think, first of all, I need to think about whether I have a good medical reimbursement cover where you go to hospital. Sometimes you don't think about it, but you will need to go to hospital and do a surgery. I need to have a cover for that medical expenses. The second thing I need to think about is, of course, the budget, right? How long I work and how long I stay in life. And do I have a good insurance that cover my future expenses as well? As probably think about critical illness as well. When you have cancer and you lose your working salary because of you need to get better, that period of time, do you have an insurance cover? But all in all, I think regular checkup first to make sure that you know your condition.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Sally, for being such an amazing champion for women's health. It's been inspirational to hear you talk about your own journey. And thank you for sharing the opportunities and the challenge that insurers also have on creating better coverage and support for women at home and in the workplace when they go on their health journey. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Micah, for having me.